where we have our, let's say an event happens that we have a memory of, right? Where you visually can intellectually explain it to me, right? That's one side of your brain that holds the visual and cognitive, right? The thoughts and kind of your perception of it. Well, the part that holds all the feeling memory and the emotions that you had during that event get stored in a completely different part of the brain.
My name is Fauna Asfa, and after doing the backbreaking work to save and reclaim my own life, my passion now is to help others do the same. Since writing my debut book, Sober Daughter, the amount of people that wanted more inspired me to create this podcast. This space is for both real people and industry professionals to share inspiring experiences and usable tools for us all to connect and heal ourselves together. Today, our guest is Britt Duddy. Britt is a master's level therapist here in Los Angeles. She specializes in trauma therapies, including EMDR, somatic, and parts work. Britt helps people gain their self-awareness and education in healing their trauma and self-defeating behaviors. Through empathy and compassion, her hope is to guide others to better understanding themselves as a whole and finding inner strength to thrive in life. So, hey, Britt, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Excited to be here.
Thank you so much, because I think trauma work is just so important, and I feel like so many people don't really understand what it is.
Yeah.
I did a lot of trauma work on my own when, you know, I was really navigating, well, the craziness of my life and, you know, my deep PTSD and grief and what came up for me. And it was just so incredible that I want other people to know about it.
Yeah. What trauma work did you do specifically? Because there's different there's different types of trauma work.
And that's what I want you to share with everybody. Because, you know, everybody's like, what is trauma work? And I specifically did EMDR and brain spotting.
Okay.
I found a lot of differences between the two, and they were both beneficial to me, but I got a little bit more in depth in the brain spotting. But EMDR was like really the way to like open me up and really do that deep connection.
Yeah.
And I just was blocked. I mean, absolutely blocked. I didn't even know that you could tap into your deep trauma from childhood. So I have a million questions.
So much. What do you want to know?
Okay, so first off, you know, what even led you to becoming a therapist? Like, what was that like for you? Because that's a deeply healing work that's also can be challenging.
Yeah, I think the seed was planted just through my own therapy, you know, like I always, ever since I was young, kind of was in and out. And I just always just really enjoyed kind of looking within and, you know, just the whole process of therapy of kind of gaining insight. And I really always loved my therapist. So that kind of planted the seed. And then in my 20s, I was, you know, trying other things, you know, other careers. But it was always in the back of my mind. And then, you know, I went through my own, you know, kind of trauma per se in my late 20s after I had my daughter. And I was just really struggling with like panic attacks and anxiety. And I just started doing deeper work. And I just kind of was at a, it all kind of came together because I was at a time in my life where I was looking for something else, like a different, I wanted to pivot careers and try something different. And I was just so inspired from, you know, my own healing that I just felt that was like what I wanted to do. I kind of felt like I was called to it in a way, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that led me, you know, in my mid 30s to like go back to school and get my master's. And now here I am. And I kind of fell into trauma work. Like I was very into like psychodynamic therapy. That was kind of my foundation and what I was really into, which is more just like talk therapy, but, you know, traditional, you know, therapy I was really into. And then I started working under this supervisor who was a trauma therapist, and she made me do this training and it just changed everything. Cause I'm like, oh my God, like this is the work. This is, you know, I mean, and it includes everything, like the trauma work that I do. It's kind of like a little of everything. So it just really rounds it out, I think, for healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so incredible. How was it going through therapy, you know, as someone who had just had your daughter and having your own personal struggles? Did you find that, because a lot of people I've found that are in healing practices or are, you know, helping others through healing, is it comes from a place of, we've had to do this work ourselves and we've had to navigate, you know, really transformative experiences and reach out for help. So how did that feel, being able to now be the person that offers the help when it was you that was really searching for it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, and I'm speaking just for myself, I think having gone through what I had gone through, you know, it's not the same as every client that comes into my office, right? Our situations aren't the same, but pain is pain and struggle is struggle. Anxiety is anxiety, right? And I can have that empathy because it's like, I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, so it helps me to really be able to show up for my clients and really see them and their pain. And then having done the work, it's like, I kind of see myself as like the guide, you know, the symbolic, you know, archetype of like the guide, the wise sage, you know, like Gandalf with his cane, who's like, come today, you know, like,
yeah.
I've been through this, you know, cause I mean, as a therapist, you can't heal the person, right? You're just guiding them to their own healing, right? It's like,
yeah.
So because I went through it, I'm able to kind of be like, I know this, I can show you, not just through my clinical training, but through personal experience. And I think that's really important. And I think that makes a therapist, you know, super empathetic and compassionate when they have gone through their own stuff.
Oh, I agree. I really do. I think it's that relatability and that, you know, you've seen the bottom, you've seen those depths, you've seen what it can take. And so I think it gives people a little bit, you know, more mindfulness of what the client's going through. And I just think it's so important. And it's also so healing for you, I would assume, to now be the one that's giving this, you know, healing help and guidance.
Yeah. I mean, and I learn from my clients too, you know, they'll come in and it's like, this sounds familiar. And then it's like, as we're in the session kind of talking through things, it's like, I'm helping them gain insight, but then it's also informing me in my life. And it kind of holds me accountable of like, oh shit, like I got some of that too. And I gotta, you know,
yeah.
Right. So I like it. It keeps me honest and it keeps me, you know, working on myself really.
That's so good. I think it's so incredible. It's such a, and therapy is, you know, it's an old profession, but it's new to so many different demographics of people. A lot of people have not been exposed to therapy or don't really understand. So to be able to break it down and really explain, like, what are we doing? What are you offering? Like, how do we use this to help us? Yeah, I think it's so important. And speaking of which, I would love if you could talk about, okay, so for people that don't know, what is trauma specifically, like the difference between big T and little T, and what are these modalities? Like, what are people going to kind of expect, or what is the benefit of looking at our really deep-seated traumas?
That's a really good question. So big, you know, I love that you brought in the big T, little T. So a big trauma is what I think everyone associates trauma with, right? It's the veterans that are coming home with PTSD because they were, you know, witnessed their, you know, best friend get killed in front of them, you know, a car accident, you know, something, you know, being assaulted, being robbed, you know, the big, big events in life that it's just like in one moment, it just leaves you totally, you know, shocked and frozen, and kind of then you develop PTSD from that, right? But there's other trauma, the little T traumas, that is what more and more frequently is showing up in my therapy room, is the little T's, right? And that those are the ones that get overlooked, right? People are like, the little T's are kind of normalized in a lot of families, a lot of cultures, a lot of, you know, different homes. And those are, you know, being shamed by your parents, Right. And it's not just one time with little T's. Little T's, it's kind of for, in order for it to become where it's, you know, the trauma that you're needing to come to therapy and work through, it's little, these little traumas that happen every, like over time, like consistent, right? Yeah. So if you have parents that are really demeaning or, you know, shame you, just even in little ways, little comments, you know, that over time really, you know, kind of breaks you down and your self-esteem, your self-worth, you know, being in an alcoholic family, right? Where there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of yelling, you know, being in families where there was a separation, right? Like if, for example, with the alcoholic family, let's say, you know, one of your parents who's the alcoholic leaves for 3 days and you don't know where they are.
Nice.
And you're, you know, it's just, it's that feeling of like, what's going on, what's happening. And what happens to the nervous system in those situations is you go into fight or flight mode, right? And you become what's called hypervigilant, right? You're on edge. Like, when are they coming home? What's happening? Or if there's yelling, right, in the house, you're just kind of on edge. And when that's consistent over time, it becomes chronic, where you're like chronically on edge. You don't even know how to relax anymore, right? Yeah. That gets stuck in the nervous system. And then you become an adult and you're having panic attacks, you're depressed, you don't know, you know, you have addiction issues, you don't know why. And it all goes back to, you know, these little T's that kind of over time became one big, you know, problem in our lives that we need to address. And so trauma work not only can just address the big T's that are like one event that was really traumatic, but trauma work addresses these little T's, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with the little T's, there's so many incidents that you have to address that it takes a little bit longer, right? So if you go for a couple months and you're like, you know, I'm still, you know,
want having instant results, instant.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, well, you know, if you had zero trauma in your life and then you got in a car accident and you came to therapy for trauma work, you probably would be able to work through that accident fairly quickly, mm-hmm. right? And then be able to stop and move on. But that's normally not the case. I mean, even with the big T's, people come in and they're like, okay, I was assaulted and I want to work on this. And then it's like, okay, so we do, you know, I get history and background, and then I find out that they were berated by their father their whole lives, you know, that there was a lot of chaos in their family, and they're coming in to work on it on the big T, but then we find all these little T's and it's like, well, we got to go there. Yeah. Now we have to start, and I'll get into this more when we talk about the different modalities, but with like EMDR, we start at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't start at the most recent. You go to the very beginning, and you know, there's a procedure and a reason why we do that, because trauma, it's like, I was taught this analogy of a volcano from my supervisor, right? It's like the volcano has layer and layer and layer lava, right? And so think of your traumas as like, it's just like over time, over years, it's like layer and layer and layer. And then, you know, you're like all the way up to, you know, the top. And then one thing happens. And then now that's when we see the explosion. That's when we see the volcano erupt, right? And that's when we see people coming into treatment and we see people at their rock bottoms and they're, you know, suicidal or anxiety, right? And you're like, oh, it's this, you know, this one event. And it's like, no, we have to go to the very bottom, because what happens is if we only address this top one, right? You take that, you address it. The next thing that happens is going to spill over too. So it's like, you got to go down here and start taking it out so that it comes down. Mm-hmm. And then all the new stuff that happens, you're better able to process and, you know, stay grounded and balanced through that, you're not spilling over. Does that make sense?
I love that analogy.
Right?
I love Isn't it great? So much. It's so
I didn't come up with it. It was my supervisor taught me that.
It's so perfect though, because right? I think so many people, especially like if you're not culturally exposed to this work, you know, we come in. I mean, that was my experience. And right. You know, we come in and we're like, this one thing happened. And it's like, no. Actually getting to the root cause of, you know, years and years and years of either chipping away or, you know, something happened when you were young. And for me to, you know, do that work was incredible, because that was when I realized how much I had layered on myself as protection and
and a way to cope that actually, like you said, just exploded. And so I love that. I think that's such a perfect way for people to understand it. I love it.
I know. And it's helpful in explaining to clients too, you know, that sometimes they're like, well, why does it matter? Like,
yeah,
what happened when I was four, you know, like, and it's like, well, it does. It lays that foundation for how you, you know, process and interpret and emotionally react to whatever's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had a trauma at four because, you know, you were in an abusive household, right? You're going to react to what triggers you now. You know, any trigger that comes in, you're going to respond from that four-year-old. And if that four-year-old didn't have a sturdy foundation and didn't have a solid support system,
mm-hmm.
in order to learn how to kind of show up in life and not freak out, right? And not like use substances or use, you know, modes of, and we'll get into this with trauma too, like the different fight or flight responses, right?
Yeah. Which like, I want to talk about because my favorite that, you know, saying that I learned and picked up was if it's hysterical, it's historical.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't heard that.
No. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we think we have these like reactions out of nowhere, but it's held in our bodies mm-hmm. and it's all historical. It's all this data, like you said, that's just getting piled up and piled up. And, you know, if we think we're having these free, clear conversations or responses, but we haven't cleared that, we're actually having these historical responses. And that might not, that's not free, you know, like, and we got to clear that. But Okay. Speaking of like the body, you know, I know somatic work actually was really helpful for me and a lot of people that I know would intellectualize a lot of this trauma work, you know, just like, oh, I logically get it, but I can't connect it to what's happening in my body. And so I would love for you to talk about somatic work because I found it so still to this day is, you know, really, really helpful for, you know, my body was the what was, you know, freezing and triggered and just like I had pain everywhere that I didn't know where it was coming from. And so I think, you know, you've really explained like EMDR for us, but like, what is the somatic and parts work?
The somatic and EMDR uses somatic in it. And that's what makes EMDR really great because with EMDR, you're using not only the visual memory, but you're using the feeling sensation memory, right? So somatic work kind of cuts into like straight to the sensations, right? And I'll kind of give you a little like neuroscience nerdy info of like the brain and how where trauma gets stored, right? In the brain. So where we have our, let's say an event happens that we have a memory of, right? Mm-hmm. Where you visually can intellectually explain it to me, right? That's one side of your brain that holds the visual and cognitive, right? The thoughts and kind of your perception of it, right? Well, the part that holds all the feeling memory and the emotions that you had during that event get stored in a completely different part of the brain.
Oh.
So those parts of the brain don't normally communicate, right? So if you come to therapy and just talk about it, the trauma that you're intellectualizing, that's why you're not feeling, right? They're not communicating. But what EMDR does is it uses something called bilateral stimulation. And the bilateral stimulation, it activates the, you know, the two sides, the two hemispheres, and then it allows, you know, the feeling and emotion memory and the cognitive, you know, visual memory to kind of process through together. And that is why EMDR is successful because you kind of need the whole experience in order to unstuck, you know, the trauma, right? The trauma gets stuck. So with somatic work, you're kind of going just straight into the feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important because I was like you too, where I was very cut off at the neck, right? It was like, but I was having all this anxiety and I'm like, but then I tried to think my way like out of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't get it. And it's because I wasn't connecting to any of my feelings or emotions or.
Yeah. What's that? Know? No idea. I was like.
Well, and it's like, ew, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to
feel. Yeah.
Yeah. So somatic work is really cool because it brings you right into your body and it doesn't make you think or intellect. It's not about intellectualizing it. It's literally very mindful. It's like, you know, identifying, okay, where in your body are you feeling that, you know, and then going straight there and just allowing it to kind of move organically and just being aware and kind of watching it. You know, it's like just you use a lot of description, but the description is to kind of anchor you into the feeling, right? Just so that you kind of really, and we could do a little exercise at the end where I can, you know.
I love it.
Yeah. So people can kind of understand a little bit better. But yeah, the somatic is definitely getting in the body, getting in where you're feeling that tension, that tightness, that aching, just allowing it, you know, to kind of process through.
It's absolutely incredible, you know, that there's just so much of the body and the mind that one, don't communicate with each other, but also we don't engage with them. Like we don't. I can speak from myself, you know, when I began my journey, when people would say, what are you feeling? I couldn't even identify a feeling because I was so disconnected because of the trauma, because of my deep, deep grief. Like touching a feeling meant we're going somewhere absolutely just so unsafe. Mm-hmm. And so to create spaces where people can like honestly look at their feelings and emotions when, you know, it's been suppressed for decades is so powerful. I mean, just to let your body actually like express an emotion in of itself is absolutely powerful.
Yeah. It's in it. It can be extremely scary.
Yeah.
As right. Because there's the fear. The fear is that if I feel this, it's never going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I like be so consumed by it. And I can't handle it, right? That's like the underlying belief. And, you know, it's important. I just want to, like, as a disclaimer to say this, it's like this kind of work needs to be done with, you know, a professional because of how, you know, people who, like you said, like, if you haven't felt this stuff your whole life and you've never even dipped a toe in it, you know, you really want to start this work with someone that you trust and that knows, you know, if things do go off the rail, you know, it becomes so emotionally overwhelming. You want someone who's there who knows how to bring you back down, you know, and ground you and center you, you know?
Yeah. It's like a pilot, you know, having somebody able to like take you up and then bring you back is so important.
Totally. Yeah. And that's why people, when they try to do like psychedelics or stuff like that, you know, like you're breaking yourself open to all these feelings, but it's not, you know, you're doing, and that's why some people have these horrible trips, right? Because there's just like all this crazy stuff's coming up and they don't know how to
move
through that, you know? So I mean, I don't know if that's like a great comparison, but it's like, yeah, that could also happen, you know, these like retreats or these coaching, you know, like there's a lot of people that break something open, maybe unexpectedly. And it's like, you want to be in the presence of someone who knows how to like help you move through that.
Oh, I 100% agree, especially, you know, I work in treatment and in recovery and in spaces where 99.9% of everyone coming in or working on themselves has trauma. And there's so many ways to keep them safe. And then there's so many ways that they can, you know, people who don't know can put themselves in a lot of harm. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, exposing the trauma to people who aren't trauma informed, or, you know, sharing deep trauma with people that don't know how to receive it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so like, I love reminding people that there are safe spaces to process and navigate trauma professionally, and that, you know, that's where you get to do that. And then you get to, you know, show up in a different way other places, because sometimes when we bring our trauma to people that aren't fit or able, it can be so dangerous.
And then it makes you want to just clam back up again and not go there again. So yeah, it could be really damaging. So yeah, just going to people who are trauma informed.
Yeah.
And I think every, you know, treatment place should be, I don't know if where you work, like if they have you doing any kind of trauma informed training, but I think that should be mandatory.
Absolutely.
Pretty much everyone who's coming into treatment, yes, has trauma. And when you have that training, you really kind of see things through that lens, and it helps you really understand better. yeah. right? Yeah. People's nervous systems. And like, especially when you're, you know, detoxing and coming off, you know, substances, you're just like a raw nerve, right? Your nervous system is completely dysregulated, and you're needing people who know how to kind of sense that and what techniques can we do to help regulate that nervous system.
Yeah. And I do think that's one of the huge benefits of treatment is, you know, when we are getting sober or, you know, reimagining our lives after trauma, is to be around people that understand what that looks like and know how to create safety, because out in the world, it's a lot. It's a lot to navigate with that raw, exposed nerve. And so, you know, having a little bit of the trauma informed and a little bit of the containment can really help people be open and ready to take that journey. And so I love that.
Yeah.
I have a question now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So what do you think are some of the, you know, coolest, kind of most just surprising to you experiences you've seen clients have after doing trauma work, like noticing maybe a huge shift that they've had? Because I think so many people think that it's not necessarily worth it, or, you know, why do I really need to look at it? When in my case, you know, I became a completely different person because I was able to heal those wounds. I would not be able to show up. And it actually was a lot of reparenting for me. And so, you know, I became a functional, like, adult who can thrive. And so what are you seeing with your clients? Like, what's a huge breakthrough that you can share with us?
Well, I'm just thinking of all the little ones right now, you know, where they come back to session with like a different perspective, right? Or a different, you know, an interaction that normally they would have that was very triggering for them. And, you know, they have like that negative belief about themselves, and that's how they interpret the situation. And it's all, you know, that all of a sudden, maybe that situation happens again. And they're just kind of like, oh, like, you know, it was like not that deep or that difficult, or, you know, those moments. I mean, I was working with a client on, you know, doing EMDR, and with EMDR, we use, you know, I talked earlier about how we use the feeling, we get into the body, the feelings, but we also use like a negative cognition, we call it. And so each memory that we work on, we bring in, like, how did that memory make you feel about yourself? Right. So the negative cognition we were working with was like, I'm not good enough. Right. Yeah. Which, like, in CBT, you know, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, that would be like a negative core belief. Right.
Right. Right.
Not good enough. I'm not good enough. And so we were working through that, and there was a lot of anxiety there, a lot of, you know, and it was like after a couple of months of working through that, it, like, this client just had a total shift of like, you know, they went from being someone who was constantly anxious about how much they were doing, feeling like they were never doing enough, feeling like, you know, and then they just changed to this, like, you know what, if it doesn't get done, it doesn't get done, you know, just like being able to let go. And to me, that was just like, that's what you want. You're like, oh my God, it's working.
Yes.
You know, and then the other ones I love is when people come like, while we're doing EMDR, like when they get to the insight where they're like, oh my God, like, this whole time I've thought it was my fault, and it, oh my God, it was not my fault. Like, yeah. And it's like, I can let that go. Mm-hmm. And you're like, like, that's where we want to get with EMDR, is like where we really get that insight into what was really going on and not how we perceived it at the time as like a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the shifts I really, and I'm sure you experienced those, you know, while you were doing your own work. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see that though.
It makes me, you know, emotional, because it sounds so much lighter than it is, because it actually, the weight of dropping those, you know, heavy core beliefs or those heavy, just ingrained, you know, distortions of ourselves, to drop that is the most freeing experience. And even the smallest things, like, I love how you share that, the smallest things, perspective shifts,
yeah,
you know, put us on a whole different path.
I know.
Incredible.
And I, Yeah. And, you know, I think it just really helps. Like you said something about inner child work, and I can't remember if it's like under the umbrella of trauma work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's used a lot in trauma work. So, you know, yeah. Like parts work is trauma work, and we use the inner child in that parts work a lot. But, you know, when you can go within and really heal those younger memories, you're healing the inner child. You're healing that wounded child that's still kind of driving in the driver's seat, driving the bus, you know?
Mm-hmm. And
when you can heal all that, yeah, it's like you take control as the adult you, right? And then now you're driving the bus. It just feels so much, you just feel so much more grounded in life, so much more at ease. And I think it's so like, you know, everyone who's hesitant to this work, you know, it's about overcoming. I think the hesitancy is more the fear of feeling.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Of like, oh my gosh, to go there, I'm going to have to feel that. But with this kind of work, when you're going to someone who is a trauma specialist and a trauma professional, they know, and I'm sure you know from experience, there's a way that you are very grounded.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like going and taking psychedelics and then like going out of control,
no,
right?
No.
It's a very well, you know, system that is the way we do things, and the phases and the process that we do it is very specific. And it's because we don't want people to fly off the rails when they go and try to, you know, touch the traumas, you know. So it's safe, you know, but it's about, you know, it's going to be about overcoming just that fear, right? Of like, oh my God, to go there, I'm going to have to feel and want to do that, you know? And
I think that's important for, you know, especially now who we are in our society, is a lot of people are starting to really notice that, you know, they might be 45, they might be 35, but emotionally they're 13 or 15. And like you said, that's the person driving the ship. And we're starting to learn that that is really, really harmful for us. And we can't show up the way that we want to. And, you know, a lot of communities and cultures have not been able to do a lot of deep healing in a therapeutic setting. I mean, other ways, 100%. But therapy, I'm hoping, is more inclusive and more available, and also destigmatized. Like you said, this fear of feeling. And if we walk around completely unaware of our feelings, we are a danger to ourselves.
Yeah. And that's why you bring that. That's a good segue to talking about like generational trauma, right? Because it's like, if you're an adult whose 13-year-old self is driving the bus, and then you have kids.
Oh, that part.
Like, kids are triggering. Kids are extremely triggering. They're very, you know, it's very chaotic. And if you aren't a solid, you know, in your solid adult self, right? Who's taking over? That your 4-year-old self that was or your 13-year-old self, or your, and then that's who's raising these kids. Okay. I have a 13-year-old daughter. If she were to have a kid right now, oh my God, right? Cause it's like, you don't have, your brain's not fully developed. So it's like, you don't have the patience. You don't have the, you know, the bandwidth to really show up and be present at that age. So, you know, our parents had unhealed trauma. And so we're being raised by technically 13-year-olds, you know, in some cases, maybe 4 or 5-year-olds, you know, let's be real. And then their parents, you know, raise them. And so, and it just keeps getting passed down because, again, there's all these traumatized people who are adults, but they're emotionally children.
Yeah.
That's who's showing up when their kids are having a tantrum,
mm-hmm.
showing up, the adult parent or the parent who's still, you know, emotionally 5 years old, right? Or 10 years old, 13 years, whatever, you know, that's who's showing up when your kid is having a temper tantrum. Yeah. And then that gets instilled in the child. And then, you know, when they grow up, it's a cycle. And so, yeah, I think destigmatizing, you know, trauma work in the different communities and cultures. And, you know, I mean, I know a lot of cultures see it as it's embarrassing or shameful to have to admit that, like,
yeah,
therapy, you know, and even in like religious, you know, cultures too, of like certain churches are like, you know, you pray, you don't take medication, you don't go to treatment, you know, you, and it's like, that all helps too, you know, but yeah, the deep work is needed. Trust me, I've tried all spiritual holistic,
yeah,
you know, in my 20s, just like trying all the, like, you know, every modality of like holistic, you know, spiritual, this and that, every healer, you know, acupuncturist, like yogis, this, that, and the other. And it feels good for temporarily, but if you've got that deeper stuff in there, right? Those layers of lava, it's like one stressful interaction with a boyfriend or a parent or a boss.
Yes.
You're still going to lose your shit, right?
It's, I think being able to do the trauma work also allows us to be able to deepen the other spaces that are connected for us, like faith and spirituality and all these things. We come into much clearer and more connected so that we can, you know, be useful and connect with others. And I love talking, when you talk about generational trauma, you know, it's so many cultures now are starting to get curious about what was going on for them. And, you know, the trauma of slavery, the trauma of Holocaust, the trauma of the diaspora, there's so much that has not been unpacked. And I think people now are not willing to keep bringing that forward. I think people now are really starting to see that there's a freedom that they can have if they just can take a look at it, and finding people that, you know, you relate with, and there's representation in your trauma work.
Yeah. And like, you know, in my therapist communities, you know, calling right, like right now with what's going on in the Middle East with Israel and Palestine, and just on both sides, the trauma that's going to be passed down, right? If it's not addressed now, if we can address it now, it's going to save, you know, the kids and people, you know, from taking it out on the next generation, right? And so there's been a call for trauma therapists in those, you know, cultures, right? Because it's like they want someone who's, you know, of their background,
yeah,
to feel safe with, right? And so it's like we need more of those types of, you know, therapists in all cultures, you know, to be doing the trauma stuff, you know, to really get trauma informed. And yes, there's so many different trauma modalities that, you know, you could do, because you know, we haven't talked about even all of them. You know, you mentioned earlier brain spotting, which is,
yeah,
one form. Brain spotting is kind of in the feeling, right? It kind of taps into the feeling state.
Yeah. And I think that was what was helpful for me, was I was mostly EMDR, and there were just a little bit of barriers for me to, you know, really kind of connect to the feeling of what I was revisiting. And so the brain spotting for me in those moments was really helpful, because it was almost an out-of-body experience of just pure emotion, just like snot coming down my nose, like crying, just all of it. And, you know, you think it's going to be so terrifying, but actually in the moment, I didn't remember. I just released.
It was a release. Yeah.
And it
was stuck in your body, and it needed, it needed to come out.
It was one of the most powerful experiences of just this like primal cathartic release. And I know I couldn't have done that on my own, because there was just no way I could have. The fear of tapping into that was bigger than tapping into that.
Yeah.
And to release it was, you know, it was like you said, just taking layers and layers of that crap.
Yeah. Out.
We could talk about this for 100 years, I think, because I love talking to you about it. I think this is such a benefit for people. And I hope that, you know, from this, more people have learned about actually what the hell trauma is, trauma work is. Yeah. And, you know, that there are so many modalities and ways that we can connect if they're trauma informed and professional.
Yeah. And not just, you know, for trauma, because, you know, with EMDR, I mean, let's say you're struggling with, you know, a dynamic at work, right? Like you just feel like you always, you know, something always blocks you from being at your best, right? And you just feel like you're always getting in your way. Maybe you're self-sabotaging. People aren't going to connect that to like, oh, it's because I'm traumatized, right? It's like, oh, that's my trauma. No, not maybe not necessarily, but like those little T's again, you know, maybe there were a bunch of clusters of memories where, you know, you were talked down to and belittled and made to feel like you were stupid and, you know, from teachers, from classmates, you know, just like kind of bullying, right? And it's like, yeah. We EMDR, I love even for those kinds of things. It's like so helpful because yeah, is it not a huge trauma? Is it not maybe something that, you know, is giving you panic attacks on the daily or keeping you from going to work or anything like that? No, but it's something that you feel blocked in. So you want to release it. You want to work through it and you want to gain new insight so that insecurity isn't holding you back anymore. And I do a lot of that with clients where it's just like, you know, I have this insecurity that I want to get rid of. So let's find where that comes from.
Yeah.
Right. And then let's like work through that. And like in relationships
well, that they can do a lot of times, you know.
Yeah. So EMDR is great for that stuff too. Like not, it doesn't have to just be for like the big stuff. I mean, obviously the big stuff needs to be addressed as well. But yeah, I mean, I think it's great to use for in areas of our lives where we just kind of feel blocked and like we're not at our best.
Yeah. Which is a forever game, right? Like
forever. I mean, you're never done.
Yeah. Just this continuous evolving and growing. And I mean, to have support around that is my hope for, you know, everyone is however we can get it to just give more and more resources because there is a deep healing needed. And, you know, it's the work that gets, I mean, to think of like when you talk about the child and to be able to break generational trauma and break generational curses and bring new light and new perspective and freedom into, you know, new life is mind blowing.
Right.
And that's like such a gift. That's such a gift. And just thank you so much for sharing about
it. Yeah, of course. I hope I feel like you said there's so much more we could get into, but
I think we're going to have to do another. We're going to have to do like a part two.
Yeah.
I think it would be really, really fun if you wanted to leave us with an exercise that somebody could try on there.
Okay, it's a little somatic, but we use this in EMDR. We call it a resource.
What is that for people? What is the
resource? In EMDR, we start with resourcing. And basically resourcing is coping skills, but they're very specific. They're very grounding and soothing to the nervous system, right? Because we want to give you a found before we start the deep work, the traumatic stuff. We want to make sure that you know how to regulate yourself if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling nervous, if an uncomfortable emotion comes up in between sessions and you're like, you know, we want you to have some tools to like calm yourself down, ground yourself, get centered, you know, and so we call it resourcing. And so this one, it's called the light stream technique.
Okay.
Think of something, well, just kind of something that's like mildly irritating to you, something. Usually I do this in session when we're just talking and the client's talking about something, you know, that they're processing and they're upset about. And I'll go, okay, where do you feel that in your body right now?
Okay.
So think of something that's been on your mind, maybe stressing you out, and then tell me where you're feeling it in your body.
Okay. So if I think of really, really loud people... and overstimulated.
Okay.
And I absolutely feel it in like the top of my rib cage, like the top of my stomach.
Okay.
Like a tightness.
Okay. So if you were to give a shape to that, what shape would you give it?
I would give it a triangle.
Okay. And is that triangle big? Is it tiny?
It's big.
It's big. Okay. And if you were to touch it, is it smooth? What's the texture? Is it prickly? Is it slimy?
It's smooth.
Okay. What would the temperature be? Is it hot? Cold?
It would be hot.
Hot. Okay. And if you were to hold it, how heavy would it be?
It would be a little heavy.
Heavy.
A little hot, a little heavy.
All right. And what color would you give it?
I'd give it an orangish red.
Okay. All right. Orangish red triangle. That's hot and a little and pretty heavy. Okay, so what is a color that you, now I want you to think of a color that you associate with healing.
Ooh, like an aqua blue, like a greenish blue.
So what I want you to do is, you can close your eyes or not, but as you inhale, I want you to visualize this aqua blue light coming down to the top of your stomach, your ribs, into that triangle. And as you breathe out, I want you to visualize that orange-ish red color exhaling out. And then inhaling that aqua blue deep down into the top of your stomach. And exhaling that orange-ish red. And just continue this process until you feel that the triangle has been replaced with this healing aqua blue color. And you've exhaled out all of that orangish red color.
It definitely feels so soothing.
So and how does it feel there now?
Now it feels lighter and it feels cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the light stream technique.
I love that. Yeah. It feels like it was neutralized.
Yeah. So, and you can do a really quick short version of that, right? If you have your healing color and you just like visualize where in your body you're feeling the tension or the tingling or the tightness, whatever, just visualize breathing that healing light and then breathing out all
yes!
that.
Yes. Oh, so, my God, here for resourcing all the time.
I know.
I love that. No, it really does feel like it was cooled. Yeah. And the intensity was taken out, which is, you know, a lot of times the feeling is like it feels so imminent and like this reaction. And I feel like what you were able to give me was like a pause and like a cool.
A release.
Realization. Yeah.
Yeah. And that one's good too for like when we talk about somatic, because it's getting you into feeling. Right? What does that feel like? How is like the heaviness, the temperature, all of that is getting you more mindful and curious about what's going on in your body.
So good.
That's those techniques are, you know, going to over time create those neural pathways where you're able to tune into your body more.
Yeah.
No matter what you're feeling, right? You get those aches and those pains, whatever, you're going to be more in tune, more in tune, more in tune. So
I love it. Giving everybody agency. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much, Britt, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This was so informative and insightful. And I think so many people are going to be able to take, you know, bits and pieces and tools, and especially try that exercise, you guys.
Yeah.
Try the exercise. It was really cool. Take a moment and sit with that. But thank you, Britt, for having, you know, a moment to share. And I think we're going to need to do a part two.
For sure. I'd love to come back. I love that you're doing this. This is so great.
Yeah. So tell everybody how they can connect with you. And I'll get to that in 1 second. But thanks, everybody, for joining in on today's episode of the Sober Daughter Podcast. Check back next week. Well, we're going to have another incredible guest sharing inspiring experiences and usable tools for us all to empower ourselves and share and heal together. So if you want to connect with Britt,
you can go to my website. It's www.therapywithbritt. Okay, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. And if you want to connect with us or ask any questions for a future episode, follow us on Instagram at The Sober Daughter. And to connect with me directly, follow at Fauna Asfa on Instagram. So thank you for joining us. And always remember, keep doing the good work.